Take me to the other side. folks.
Hello, this is Jerry Visco on Radio Free Brooklyn on Visco Disco the Stupid Show, which is on Radio Free Brooklyn every Friday at midnight, live streaming. And I am speaking to the Messiah of Makeover, the gorgeous and brilliant Daniel DiCrisio. Is that how I pronounce it, Daniel? Daniel? Say it again. Daniel.
No. Yes.
Yes. Make sure you speak loud, okay?
I'm speaking loud.
You are Italian, after all. Come on, speak loud, honey bun.
I'm being like I'm in New York. How about that?
Yeah. So, Daniel, let me ask you some questions about... There's so many things to say that you're the Messiah of Makeover. You are a performer. You're a writer. You're writing a book. You live in Beverly Hills.
Actor, recording artist, right? All those, all the above.
Yes, recording artist. I mean, you have some incredible stories to tell, of course. For example, you opened up a performance with Grace Jones.
Oh, yes, for Paramount Studios Hollywood.
And when was that about?
No, it was in the early 2000s, and it was amazing because, you know, she liked one of my songs, and I contacted to open for her, and we blew it out and did an amazing show, which huge stage runway. I mean, just an honor to be opening for to be Grace Jones. I mean, come on, you know?
And what did you sing? What did you sing, Daniel?
I sang my song that was on the charts called Take Me to the Other Side, and it was remixed by PWL from London, who does Bananarama, Dead or Alive, and Kylie Minogue. And, so I wrote the song, and it was a hit, and I opened for Grace Jones with. And I also did a couple other songs, too, for a VIP show that was afterwards for her.
And where was the venue?
Paramount Studios Hollywood.
Oh, yeah. So was she nice?
Oh, she's great. I mean, her brother, Chris, is really cool, the one that does her outfits and everything.
Yeah.
Everything was it was a legendary night for me, really.
Yeah. And let's see. I mean, besides your own, you performed in many films. For example, you were in Bruno's, you were Bruno, what was that? Say that.
I was with Bruno, with Sacha Baron Cohen. I've done the movie Hair, won
the Hair?
Best documentary award recently at BioFest Film Festival in Beverly Hills.
Tell us about the wait a minute, hold on. Daniel, the documentary Hair is now out. Is it on Netflix or where is it?
Oh, it's everywhere. It's on Walmart.com. It's on Netflix. It's on iTunes. Like, it's everywhere you look anywhere. And it's on Amazon. It's anywhere.
And who? What was your person? Who were you playing?
In Hair, I play myself, and I talk about my own hair and how important hair is to people, and also the celebrities I've worked with and their hair.
And I might add that Daniel has the most beautiful hair of any man that I know. It's long, it's platinum, and it's gorgeous.
Oh, thank you. I get a lot of compliments on my hair. It's kind of funny. I also get a lot of gigs on my hair, believe it or not. So,
and you do your own color, right? You do your own color?
Yeah, I do my own, yeah. I do my own hair. I cut and color. I've been doing it for the longest time because I went to people who actually fucked me up, you know, and I was like, you know what? I can do this myself. And, of course, I've done it myself for all these years.
And you have a beauty, you went to beauty school, and you have a license for that, too, right? For makeovers and...
Yeah, I'm a licensed cosmetologist. I went to beauty school. I went to college, you know, undergrad. I went to law school. I've done so many things, bartending school. Real estate, you know, I've done it all. I could make, like my father tells me, I have enough degrees and papers and certificates to probably wallpaper my room, you know?
And then in the movie Hair, who was the director and who were some of the other people in it?
Well, in Hair, it was directed by a married couple. Their name's Boudreaux, and they have Deborah Skelton in it from Mad TV. Rosario Dawson's in it, of course, myself. It's a huge cast. I mean, it's kind of a knockoff of the Chris Rock Hair movie, but it's a little different. It's a little more serious, this one.
Is it a drama, or is it a drama?
Oh, it's more of a drama, I would definitely say.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A little serious. It's because there's, you know, about cancer, people losing their hair, and then people who have hair, like everybody's stories, you know.
Sounds cool. And then you've been in many television shows and other things too, right? Like what?
Yeah, well, I've been on over 30-some shows now. I mean, it's from Top TV with Bret Michaels to the Emmy winning Christina's Court. I was on The Gossip Queens, which was a talk show on Logo. Jay Leno, and of course, the Ali G show with my infamous Bruno interview I've done, which tied into the Bruno movie next. So, yeah, so many shows. I mean, I can't even really think of them all. I mean, even if it's Entertainment Tonight or extras, things like that I've been on. I've commentated for Fox News Channel, for Monica Lewinsky's Moment, the Oscars. I mean, Geraldo Rivera. I mean, the list goes on. It's just, we could talk all day. I've done BBC shows in London and Scotland. I mean, all over. Like,
and, of course,
one of my big shows was for VH1 called Home James that, actually, Ron Jeremy was on as well.
What was it called? Say it again. What was it called?
And, yeah, that played everywhere. That was, like, nonstop in the Scandinavian countries.
Daniel, say the name again.
Home James.
James?
About it. Home James.
Oh, Home James. Oh, that sounds cool. And is that available also on internet?
You can see it on YouTube. I know that now.
And also, you've done makeovers of some of the most incredible people ever. For example, Marilyn Manson, Anna Nicole Smith, Pamela Anderson. Marilyn Manson. Wait a minute. What is it? Manson. And then you did...
I've done some amazing makeovers. I've been very, not lucky, but... because luck really has nothing to do with it. It's more about timing. So, but no, it's been from Faye Resnick for Playboy, and she's on The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills now, of course, and that's back to the O.J. Simpson trial. And then, of course, that was my first big makeover with Faye Resnick, but I didn't get the credit, per se, for it, the acknowledgement.
And for the millennials,
Jones from Jones versus Clinton,
Paula Jones, yeah.
Woman who sued the president, Bill Clinton, for sexual harassment, that's what put me on the map when I made her over. And we flew to the deposition together for, her sit-down with Bill Clinton. That put me on the map. That's who made me the Messiah makeover. That's who made me where I am today. And even that made me go on to bigger and better things, meaning clientele, TV shows, movies. All this has happened basically from that.
And how did you make her over? I mean, was she kind of ugly or...
I got a call from her agent who wanted me to do another permanent for her. She had a perm back then, and her hair was black, and it was all permed. And so I went over and met with her, and I looked at her, and I said, no way. I said, no, I'm not doing it, because I thought it was a bad perm, but it was ugly. I didn't like it. And I didn't want my name on that. I was like, no. And so I had no idea, to be honest with you, who she was at the time, because I wasn't paying attention to the media, because I was so busy with my own career. But the thing was, I was being serious with her, and I'm like, no, I want to do this, which I ended up changing her whole hairstyle, taking the perm out, changing the color, getting her hair straight and doing a sexier cut on it and just making her up to date with some highlights and everything, and then softening her makeup and redoing all her clothing, her wardrobe. So, that's what happened, and then she went along with it, and they were all in shock because they had no one knew this was going to happen. And nobody else was involved. It was a one-man show, me. So, and it ended up, she went to a press conference, and the media went berserk. And then we went to the deposition, and they even went double bonkers over it, So, and it was like, who am I? And all of a sudden, Daniel DiCrisio, my voicemail was jacked up with tons and tons of messages from every show on television, everything you would know from extra down the line. I mean, I was like booked up. The minute I got off that plane back to the deposition, I was booked.
Yeah.
Hi, just asking my listeners if they would please help Radio Free Brooklyn by pledging a little money to Patreon, which is the way that we are. It's a non-profit, but we don't make too much money. I'm not making money. I'm talking about keeping the art Radio Free Brooklyn on the air. You can pledge as little as $1 a month, which is $12 per year, which is less than a movie ticket. So listen, listeners, if you can go to radiofreebrooklyn.com/pledge, P-L-E-D-G-E, that goes right to the Patreon page. And if you could just pledge us a few bucks, that would be great. I understand. I'm broke, too. I can barely pay my rent. But if you pledge a little bit of money, that way Radio Free Brooklyn will stay. Because, you know, it isn't, they're not making money, but it's a way to keep us going. And it's fun, and you have to admit you like, they have to pay for their lease, where they're living. So please give us a buck, honey buns, or maybe $2, or who knows. If there's any rich people out there, give us a $2, okay? Anna Nicole Smith,
well, she's gorgeous anyway, but sometimes with that is, there's subtle things that you do makeovers, you know what I mean? It's not necessarily someone like her going to do a major makeover and make her hair black and all, you know what I mean? So, no, with fine-tuning things with her, you know, adjusting little things to make things a little more, like, better, because she started changing her look, she got thinner and things like that, and you have to go along with things. You know, sometimes she wants to be a little trashier, and you got to clean her up, so I would clean her up. You know, hair color-wise, you know, cut-wise. I mean, one time, when I first started working with her, her hair was 2 inches longer on one side. So, it was like, whoa, I mean, it was all jacked up, the whole thing. But, so, yeah, I mean, you know, it's also about, I don't just do hair, makeup, and clothing. I also end up doing personal things, meaning the way they are perceived, the way they sit, the way they present themselves, I get into. You know, the way they speak sometimes, I mean, I advise. So, and if it's a shoot, I advise on posing and things like that. So, it goes beyond that a lot of the time.
What size was her bra?
Probably like 44 double D.
Wow.
She's a big girl, like, she's big like me, so I could play her in a movie if they ever would make another one.
And were you ever in her show?
The Anna Nicole Smith show? No, they asked me and I didn't do it. I was on TV talking about her constantly when she died. So I was on Catherine Cryer Live and all those kinds of things. And
yeah.
I covered the trial when all the players, Howard K. Stern and everybody, had to go take the stand because of the doctor, you know, issuing her drugs and stuff. I was at every court case covering it. I was hired to do that. So, but yeah, so I mean, I was on TV a lot covering everything else.
And was she, did you love her or like her? Was she nice?
Oh, I loved her. You know, here's something funny. Bonnie Stern, Howard K. Stern's sister, she actually wrote to me. She contacted me through the company that hired me to cover the trial. And she said to me, she goes, you know, I saw your interview, and I wanted to say thank you. And then we talked on the phone, because she said I gave such an honest and really sweet interviews about her. So the thing was, she said, I have a question I want to ask you. I need to talk to you. So we talked, and she goes, well, I want to know if you really know her. Everyone running around saying they know her. And I said, okay, well, what do you want to know? She goes, well, I want to know this one answer to this one question. This will tell me if you knew her. So I said, okay, go ahead. She goes, how does she pay you? I said, how does she pay me? I said, that's what you want to know? Because I'm, like, kind of private with stuff. I don't think it's necessary to go bragging. I've ever telling them everybody with, you know, everything going on. But I said to her back, I said, oh, she just paid me cash. And she said, oh, my God, you know her. She goes, she never paid in credit. She never... So I said, oh, I know. I said it was always cash, and I never questioned it because, you know, that's that. No matter what the bill was, it was cash.
Did you have sex with her? By the way, did you have sex with her?
Did I have sex with her? I'm not talking. You have to buy my book. I mean, Christ, if I told you.
Yeah, but you had, like, a little bit of a passion for her, though.
I have my book out. We'll talk on this about the book tour. We'll go into that.
Well, we'll buy your book. When is your book coming out? In the next year?
Yeah, I mean, I can say this. I mean, I'll just say, you know, there's been a couple playing aides who have accosted me, per se, on shoots at the Playboy Mansion and stuff, and ripped off their bikinis and told me to do things, but, you know, things like that, that just comes with the territory, but, you know, but buy my book, you'll hear more.
Yeah, okay, we'll buy it for sure. And what about Hugh Hefner? Is he a friend of yours?
Yeah, Hugh Hefner is great. He's a very nice man, actually. And anytime I was in the Playboy Mansion by myself one time, because I had to meet somebody there, and he came walking down the stairs, and he's like, "Hey, Daniel, how are you?" And I was like thinking to myself, "The fuck, I'm in the Playboy Mansion by myself, and here comes Hugh Hefner's pajamas down the staircase." I mean, it's like a dream, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm kind of fortunate that I, you know, have gotten to where I've gotten on my own, you know, so.
Yes.
And I've worked with his kids, I've worked with them and his ex-wife, him, and, you know, I've been in that whole circle for many years, so.
Did you do any makeovers on the Playmates?
Oh, I'm always doing makeovers on people, whether it's Playmates or even little kids. I mean, even with Hefner's kids, I made them all, like, my color hair, you know. I took them from dark hair to platinum, you know. They were on some soccer team, and just little things, like, you know, people, like, want to do things like that, and I do it, you know.
And what about Pamela Anderson, who is one of your makeover people also?
Oh, Pamela, well, she's gorgeous, you know that. I mean,
absolutely.
So it's not really a makeover for her, but did you work with her? I can do with her, and I always end up, you know, doing this over-the-top glamorous hair with her. A lot of people like to use wigs and things, I've seen. I don't do that. I use the real people, the real hair. I mean, I do the work, and I create. So, you know, anything I've done has been real. It's not something where I'm like, okay, I'm going to slap a wig on her and then just do a look and go, here you go, it's a makeover, you know, because people have done that, and I've seen it. You know, and that's not what I do. I try to make them the best they can look for them, you know, the real thing.
But she has a beautiful body also, right?
Say that again?
She has a gorgeous shape.
Oh, my God, yes.
And what about, have you seen her at all recently, or what is she up to now?
Well, she changed her image. She's toned down. She took down her bar tattoo off of her arm, and about her kids now because they're going into college. And, you know, everyone's getting older growing up, you know, but she's still sexy. She still looks great. She just took her boobs down a couple sizes, you know. She's out there, though.
And she's not with that.
Fabulous.
Is she single still?
Yes, she's still single.
Good for her. She's cancer also, which is what I am. Cancer women.
July 1st, yeah.
Cancer women wind up with terrible boyfriends for some reason.
Hold on for 1 second. Hold on.
Sure. I will.
Hold on.
And so it's Jerry Visco on Radio Free Brooklyn. And here's Daniel
Visco,
DiCrisio.
Visco, Crisco, DiCrisio.
Yeah, Visco Disco or Crisco Disco?
Visco Disco, Crisco, DiCrisio Show. Here we are.
Oh, yes. And you've also done makeovers for some guys. Like, what about, what's his name? Marilyn Manson?
Marilyn Manson, yeah. Well, Marilyn Manson, he came to me, and he was working on his Dope Show album and, you know, Mechanical Animals. And he came in, he had the long black hair, and he said, he brought pictures of the runway models, and I looked at him, I said, I don't want to see those. I said, I know what I want to do. And I ended up just, I always turn people away from the mirrors, and I do things like that, and so they don't see, but I said, you got to trust me when I do this. So I ended up chopping off his hair and giving him that cut for that Dope Show and doing some other things with him. And the funny thing was, he looked in the mirror afterwards, he goes, dude, you're a fucking genius, you know? And it was amazing, but he had those big platform shoes on, and I said to him, I'm like, look, Marilyn, you got to take those off, really, because I make people stand up when I do their hair. So he obediently took them off. And I thought that was really cool. He just, like, was real calm, and almost, like I said, obedient about it. Really funny.
And anybody else you've worked with that I didn't ask you about?
Well, you know, there's Kato Kaelin, and I've done some, you know, some of the Real Housewives I work with, and I've also had some fights with some Real Housewives in media.
Yeah.
I, you know, the Real Housewives. Back talking about Housewives, remember my birthday parties, you know all about those.
Yes, and let's reiterate that you are an Aquarius, correct?
Yes, January 26th, Aquarius.
So what happens on your birthday parties? You have the most incredible people coming.
Well, I've been having these huge birthday party events, and it started years ago, and they've gotten so much media attention. I never anticipated that, and they turned into the place to be, kind of. So I've had, actually 1 year, Lisa Vanderpump from The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills hosted my birthday party, and it's on the invite, and you can see it, the invite's online everywhere, but still out there. And then, you know, Jeffrey Sanker, who's the nightclub impresario, who was tied up with Steve Lubell back in the day, but he's out in L.A. now, so... And he's like the big nightclub guy, and he's hosted it. And then I've had Mr. Black, who's from New York, that hosted it. And I've had celebrities from Tila Tequila to Annabelle Lewin from Bow Wow Wow. Of course, Lisa Vanderpump. I've had John Barrymore. I mean,
I love John Barrymore, by the way.
I've had Gina Keir from The Real Housewives of Orange County.
Yes.
I mean, it's the ticket, I guess, you know?
And do you always do it in the same place or a different place?
Oh, no, it's like, I named the venues, too. There's a different venue, like,
different.
Every year.
Yeah.
So, for Mr. Black, which is one venue, it was Greystone Manor. Then it was Sir Lounge for Lisa Vanderpump's place. And, there's so many places I've done. It's just unbelievable. And the nightclub's mine, the whole thing, so, you know, whatever.
Well,
restaurant or nightclub, you know.
Daniel, can I come to your 25th birthday that's coming up?
Yeah, I mean, I had my Blonde Mafia birthday. You missed. And it was Patel Marmont.
I'll have to fly out.
And Lynn, John Barrymore, and Susie Malone. And, I mean, she's from Australia. And, I mean, I've had so many people. It's really amazing. It turned into this. I can't get over it.
And you live in Beverly Hills, right?
Yeah, I live in Beverly Hills.
So
there
are you...
forever.
You like it there?
Oh, I love it. Totally. I don't know where else I could go.
Well,
you know, I mean, everywhere I go now, I like it, but when I get back to Beverly Hills, I become me again. I don't know what that's about.
Right.
You know, and it's not about being pretentious. A lot of people look at it like, oh, you're just a pretentious ass, or, you know, that you want to be in Beverly Hills, or it's not that. It's just something about the energy, you know, and about feeling like yourself. I feel like me. You know, sometimes I go places and it's a little slow. I don't know how to explain it, but New York's great. I love New York. I feel fine there. But sometimes I go to these other places, like if I'm in Scottsdale, I can deal with that. I used to live in Scottsdale, actually, but about a couple of weeks, I'm ready to get out. You know, just, I don't know.
And you grew up in Delaware and Atlantic City, right?
Yes, I grew up in Wilmington, Delaware, born and raised, and then I went to Atlantic City. And, I loved Atlantic City. I really enjoyed it there. I mean, I think it's great. I love the beach. I like the boardwalk. I used to go jogging on the boardwalk at night. You know, plus all the nightlife and casinos they had.
Are you a gambler?
I'm in trouble a little bit.
Are you a gambler?
Huh?
Are you a gambler, too?
Say again?
Do you gamble at all?
Oh, a little bit I do.
Yeah.
You know, my mom was a gambler, but I'm a little bit of a gambler. You know, I don't mind it. I like it to a point. I'm not a gambler, though.
And I might also mention...
I like roulette. I like craps.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes I play a little blackjack. you know, slot machines are cool, you know.
Yeah, I think the only time I use it, I was in Las Vegas, I put up like $1, and that's about the maximum I've done. I'm cheap with that.
You know,
my mother was
do something like that.
My mother was a slot machine queen. My mother was a slot machine queen in Las Vegas, but I personally, you know,
I'm not a real gambler. I mean, when I'm there, I'll do it though.
Yeah, but I want to also mention, Daniel, you are Italian, which I love.
Yes, I'm Italian. Florence Frenzy, baby, Frenzy.
And the thing is, you know how I met you?
How?
I met you, I saw you on Facebook, and I said, who's that guy with that incredible hair? And with all those famous...
I remember, you wrote that to me.
Is that how I wrote to you the first time?
Yes, you said something about my hair, I remember that.
And then I said, you're with all these celebrities, and I was like, I have to be friends with that guy, come on. And I friended you...
Water seeks its own level, you know, so you and I kind of fit together there, you know what I mean?
Yes, yes.
Kind of similar interests and similar backgrounds. I mean, you're even, like you were saying, my dad's a, you know, builder, commercial residential builder, and your father, bricklaying and all that construction stuff again. So, kind of similarities there, you know?
And we grew up in the suburbs, so are we a little bougie?
Yeah.
Just a bit. But we're also bad
I remember seeing pictures of your father's, was it your father's brickwork? I mean, it was amazing.
Yes. Yeah, he was very good.
Really? I'm not kissing your ass about that. That's like artistic.
They were stone workers from even back in Italy.
Yeah, they don't do it like that anymore.
Yeah.
No?
And so one other question. Did you make over Monica Lewinsky?
No, but I did not make over Monica, but I made her over a million times in the press because I've been interviewed a thousand million times about her and what I would do to her. So whether it's the New York Post or whatever, the Daily News, I mean, a lot of New York publications covered it, plus a lot of international ones. But
you knew her.
Yeah, so...
You know her, right?
I mean, yeah, well, I actually met her after the whole fiasco of the... You know, the whole scandal. I met her, believe it or not, at the Grove in L.A., and I was coming out of the men's room, and she was coming out of the ladies' room at Nordstrom. I mean, can you imagine, really? I came face-to-face, and I'm like, Monica. She looked at me, and then we started chit-chatting and all, but that's how I met Monica. But I knew all about Monica way before the world knew about her, so the follow-up. So, you know, before even the deposition happened, I mean, I knew all about her. So,
and did you like her?
But the world, do I like her?
Or did you
I don't know her, but... You know, I mean, cause I guess so. I don't know her, though.
But did she seem nice?
Yeah, I think she seems nice. I mean, I think she seems like a pleasant girl to me, a pleasant woman, I should say.
Did she?
You
give,
know, I don't think she's
Daniel,
a troublemaker or anything like that.
Did she give you a blowjob?
Family's very sweet.
Did she give you a blowjob? Daniel, did she give you a blowjob? Did she give you a blowjob?
Yeah, there you go. That's how I know her. I didn't want to tell you, but...
Well, you did tell me that you were listed as one of the winners of the New York Post alongside Bill Clinton, Al Gore, and Monica Lewinsky. The winners.
Yes, that was, oh my God, I'll never forget that. I was in L.A., and at the time, the New York Post was not allowed in L.A. or California. It was not delivered. This was pre-internet, of course. So David Margolick, who was an editor, writer for Vanity Fair, who interviewed me, actually, he called me up and said, did you see this? And I go, what? He goes, the New York Post put out a winner's loser's list. And you're on it. I go, oh, and I'm thinking the losers, right? So I'm like, well, and I go, that's nice. He goes, no, you're on the winner's side. I go, get out of here. And he goes, I'm going to send it to you. He goes, this is historical. You're going to want to hold this forever. Well, he sent it to me. I had no idea that it was Bill Clinton, Al Gore, Monica Lewinsky, Bob Bennett, the attorney for Bill Clinton, and myself were on the winner's side. And then on the loser's side was basically Paula's team. So I was just in shock. And that's how... Right after that came out, that was like the biggest thing to me. But the next day or so, the case was dismissed. So I was like shoveled out in the media like crazy. All of a sudden, I was on TV everywhere again. Do you know what I mean? So, but not for doing a makeover. It was for talking about other things. They had me all over the place. So, you know, interesting though. Very interesting.
And, also, it seems that you, do you have any advice for some of the people who are listening that are kind of ugly that need a makeover? You're the makeover messiah.
Call me.
Yeah.
Call me.
Call Daniel. You are the messiah, makeover messiah, and you will help them. What do you recommend people do?
Well, I just recommend, first of all, you have to love yourself and don't think you're ugly, but come to me and I'll help you out. And I think it's more about your inside and how you want to feel and portray yourself to people, because I've seen ugly people, if you want to call them that, you know, that term, who to me look beautiful. It's amazing to me, because it's about an energy someone possesses, whether it's confidence or, like, when someone's insecure, it makes them ugly in a way.
Yeah,
so
definitely.
Sometimes confidence is like a bluff, and it can actually make you seem and feel more attractive and more presentable people. So, you know what I mean? And then, you can wear something that's not even that expensive or do your hair a certain way that's not acceptable, but the confidence is what attracts you. So, even if I do a makeover on somebody, they need to wear it and present it the right way, because if they're not comfortable, and I do this a lot with people, I'm not going to cut their hair short because I think, oh, you need a short haircut. I got to go with this person. If they're sexual, they don't want a short haircut, you know that. If it's a woman, you know, they want some hair or something, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you got to make them that way so they're comfortable within their own skin. You can't put a, you know, like a pantsuit on, like you say, pantsuit, but, you know, a pantsuit on a woman who wears skirts and heels all the time. You know, you got to figure out something that will look good on them, who they are.
And don't you think most people should try wearing more, a little makeup, even guys?
Wearing what?
Don't you think most people should put some makeup on?
Yeah, I do. I think some makeup's good, not a lot. You know, sometimes it's nice to be fresh-faced, you know, and clean. There's a time and place for everything. But I think, you know, with your skin, sometimes you can be a little blotchy or you know, sometimes just a little tiny bit of, you know, cover up, or it's fine, a little, you know, lip gloss or something, it's fun. Even if it's a fresh face look, you can do. But and I don't think a lot of makeup's good, though, on certain people. Certain people can't pull that off because, you know, their faces, sometimes their features are too small, or you get really, like, it's an artistic thing. It's not technical. That's the problem here. A lot of people think beauty or even acting or music, it's technical a lot. You know, you get a lot of people who are, like, intellectual idiots about it, and they forget, even about plastic surgery. I see a lot of this plastic surgery that's bad. And I always tell people, because I do consultations for plastic surgery, believe it or not, it's artistic, too. And sometimes these people don't have an artistic side, and it shows who do the work.
Do you know any good plastic surgeons?
Me? No, I'm just kidding. I have a whole Rolodex of people. I mean, I could refer you to people, totally. There's only a few, though, that are really good, I would say, that I would like, that I know of right now.
But as we were saying, some of the celebrities tend to overdo the plastic surgery, right?
Oh, they're overdoing a lot of the celebrities, but it's like anything new. You know, everyone gets addicted to things, you know, and all of a sudden it's like overfilled, overplumped, overpulled, and it's just like a mockery, you know, and you look like a joke. And I think in time it's going to be so outdated, whether the big lips or the pumped up faces. I think it's going to be like, oh, that was so 2016, you know, one day. But everybody got so excited about it that they went overboard, I think. You know, you see a little wrinkle come back and just pump it up more, pump it up. And they don't let it go and just let it relax, you know. They're just, like, on it. And it's addictive, like getting your teeth cleaned today. It's like they just go there, it's like they're going to the dentist now, you know. It's not even a big deal. Like Botox this, fill that, you know. It's like, give me some Juvederm. Give me, I mean, that's how they are today. And but, you know, too much is not a good thing. Remember, everything in moderation, but I think they went over.
Well, should I wear more makeup or less?
What?
Do I need more makeup or less?
More makeup or less?
Or less makeup.
It depends on the person.
Well, you know, Stacey London did. She gave me a make under.
Right.
What did you
think? Make unders, yeah, less makeup, of course. I mean, you tone it down, yeah.
But did you think the make under is good, or was it kind of boring?
Well, it depends what you're going for. Make under would be good if you're going for a corporate job and all that kind of thing, you know, where you have to work 9 to 5 and fit in with everybody and look the best you can look without, you know, being so over the top. But dealing with celebrities and people who are stars, or, you know, I'm trying to say, media people, and that's the whole gimmick is your look. So you're not going to take somebody like, I hate to say, Cher, the singer, and go tone her down to the point where she looks like the secretary.
Now, Cher is a friend of yours, right?
Yes. Yeah, I've known Cher a long time. I met her from working with Jose Abair back when in the day. And very sweet. She has my music as well. She likes my pictures and stuff. She would tell me on the CD cover and all. But, no, very cool. I'm serious. I don't want to say, because everyone says that probably, but she is very cool. And that's the word for her. It sounds so contrived to say that, but it is. And, you know, call her house, and I've done all that. You know, I've been around a long time. I mean, but she was someone that, I'll never forget when I first met her and just looked at her in the face and talking. I was like, Jesus Christ, I'm fucking talking to Cher. I mean, it's like, you know, because she's an enigma. She's like an icon. So.
Absolutely. And she's nice too, right?
Very nice. And that's what I'm saying. She's very cool. There's no attitude at all. She's Cher. That's her. When you see her talking on TV, that's her. She's just the way she is.
Yeah. Now, I'm looking...
Yeah, no pretense. It's not a fake front she's putting up. It's her, you know.
Now, you have a website, Daniel DiCrisio. Is it blogspot.com?
DanielDiCrisio.net.
Yes.
My website.
So everybody Google that. I want everybody listening, Google Daniel DiCrisio. Now, we're going to spell it DanielDi...
DiC...
RISCIO.
Mm-hmm.
So Google that, and you're going to go on his website, and he's got some incredible things and lots of videos and everything. But it says on here, Daniel, it says famous scandals he's been involved in. Like what?
O.J. Simpson trial, Paula Jones with the Jones versus Clinton. I was with the Condoleezza scandal back then. I did makeovers on his mistress for the National Enquirer. What other? I mean, I've been in so many scandals, not just the Anna Nicole Smith death scandal. I mean, there's so many things I've been involved in. There's scandals. Like I always say, if there's scandal, there's Daniel. I swear. It's like
Daniel the scandal guy.
Exactly. I mean, it's like, if you want the boy next door, go look fucking next door, because that ain't me, obviously. So, like, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So how about the Vamp movie, the Zombie Biker?
Yes, you are acting in a movie that I'm in with, it's called Vamp Biker's Tress, and you are playing, what is your character?
Idol. I have a couple, but Idol's one of them.
Idol?
Idol. Like,
are you a zombie, though?
Yeah, that's a zombie, and then I just did one where I'm a social worker.
And the director is Eric Rivas.
Yes, Eric. Yeah. And they all know each other through you.
Yes,
you
know, and so. I got Ron Jeremy in there, too, you know?
I know.
Who's a friend of yours.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing.
Yeah. But the film will be coming out. The film, Vampire's Trust. What? Say that again.
I said you are hysterical in your scene.
Oh yeah, this is the stupid show, but we aren't stupid. We're brilliant. In fact,
yeah. I want to wear that glass helmet you had on that fishbowl thing upside down.
Oh yes, you should.
I
want to
wear that.
Yeah, outer space.
I love that. That was so cool. I looked at it. I said, "What the fuck did she get that from?"
But, you know, you're smart. You went to law school, didn't you?
Yeah, I went to law school. Took me 6 years to get through. It was only, you know, 2 years, but I did it part-time, and something I always wanted to do, and I graduated cum laude. So,
are you a lawyer?
You know, I'm diverse. Like I told you before, I'm diverse, and I have so many interests, and, you know, a lot of people say, what are you, a jack-of-all-trades, master of none? I'm like, no, I'm master of all the trades, because... You know, I'm very interested in lots of things, and whether it's mostly artistic, of course. But I don't see why you would want to master one thing when you live. Like,
yes.
It feels like you're living a long time, you know, sometimes.
And also what we were talking about yesterday was you don't like being labeled as one kind of thing, like, okay, gay, straight,
no, I don't like
bi.
Labels about sexuality.
It's all bullshit, right?
It's on my nerves now. It's getting on my nerves. I don't want to hear, I know there's LGBTQ, I understand that. But the minute you say you're a B, bisexual, then the other letters jump all over you. So I don't understand why everybody's picking on each other about that kind of stuff or even labeling when it's all just sex. And like my mother told me years ago when I was younger, she said, you know, I don't know if I were, like when I was born, if no one told me what to do, what I would do. Well, who would I go with? I mean, because you're kind of primed in this society to go, you know, girl with the guy and the boy with the girl. But who would you go with if no one instructed you? Do you know what I mean? Like, naturally. Because the animal world, everybody's doing everything, you know. But people, we're all conditioned. And, yeah, we broke the barriers. Now it's like, you know, the gays, the lesbians, the bisexuals, the transgenders. Yeah, but everyone still jumps on certain types, and it's just ridiculous, you know.
Yeah.
Labels, just stop it.
Well, as I was saying yesterday, I think most guys would even have sex with a piece of steak, you know? They don't care. Whatever
yeah,
happens.
Just wrap it around your fist and whatever in your fist and go on. There
whatever's
go.
Around, they got to go for it, you know? That's how guys are
whatever,
a lot of times.
Whatever blows your skirt up, you know? That's how I am. Whatever
yeah.
blows your skirt up, I don't care. Just do what you want. Just as long as you don't hurt anybody, you know what I'm saying? That's all.
Speaking of trans, you told me yesterday that you are friends with the Kardashians.
Yeah, I've known them since the O.J. trial. Well, the Jenners, you know, Kardashian, too, as well. I knew the father before he passed away, so.
And what about our Jenner, who's, you know, Kardashian? What do you think of the trans? Does she need to have a makeover, or do you like the way she's looking?
Caitlyn Jenner actually does need a makeover, and it's not cutting bangs into your hair, because the times are moving so quickly today, and she's so famous. And the minute she goes away from the media for a while and comes back, in this day and age, you got to change. You can't just cut bangs in your hair and change. You got to do something new. And I don't care if you come back blonde or you do something new with a new look, you know, clothing-wise, everything. Because you're going to get boring. And I understand there's the classic look. I got that. But today, classic doesn't last as long. And if you're going to be classic, you have to change the looks, though. You can't keep on one look. And Caitlyn Jenner is living on one good look right now. But you, the media is moving.
You
so
knew her back when she was.
We're going to get bored if it doesn't change.
You knew her when she was a guy, right?
Yeah, when it was Bruce, when he was Bruce, and you know the parties with him with when Chris and Mary Fran, how long ago was from Newhart, and other times. It's back more towards OJ, and you know he's very quiet and arms folded, looking a lot. And, you know, but now I know why he came off that way a little bit because there was this side of him probably that was, you know, not out there yet, but. I understand it's always been there, but it was never discussed. I mean, I've had certain magazines, like In Touch or whatever, interview me about him and Caitlin and ask me about that. And I said, you know, back when, it was a different time. No one talked about that stuff. You know, I mean, it's not surprising to me, but it was never discussed.
Did he seem...
No, he did not walk around in a dress. I never saw him in a dress.
Did he seem like a girl, though? Did he seem like a girl? Back then? No. Right?
Did he seem what?
Like a girl back then?
He just seemed passive to me, if yeah. I had to say. He just seemed passive and calm. He didn't seem like a real go-pushy guy, you know, the guy type. He was just a little calmer, and I thought maybe it was about, you know, he's a little more educated or just calmer. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. But you never know, you know. Now I realize, you know, since the times have changed so much, nothing surprises me. You know what I mean? Nothing.
Yeah, of course. And also, what about Sally Kirkland? You were on her talk show recently?
Yeah, Sally Kirkland and I are friends. I love her to death. And she asked me to be on her talk show, and it was amazing because she's, you know, an award-winning actress, you know, not award-winning, Academy Award nominated and Golden Globe winner. And I mean, she's phenomenal. She's a legend. And had an amazing interview with her, going to dinner with her, and we've had a lot of fun. I mean, she's really a nice woman and, you know, and a legend. I mean, let's be real. You know? So.
Yeah. And also, Dan...
You know, she's a wild side. You know, she wrote a fake down the street naked on Christopher Street, I think. I mean, she has her, you know, her wild side, too, you know?
And what are your hobbies or what do you like doing your day-to-day in California there?
Well... What I do a lot is, you know, of course, there's always business to do, which gets boring, but I'm very much an outdoor kind of person, and I like swimming, and I like tanning, even if everyone gets on my back about it. It's not good for you, but, you know, I like the beach. I like driving a lot, you know. I like going to red carpets. I go to so many red carpets, I'm starting to enjoy them, though. I mean, just recently, the last red carpet I was at the Beverly Hilton, and I think you may have seen this on my Facebook, and I met the former president of Mexico.
Yes. I saw that.
And they thought, which shocked the shit out of me because he was right behind me. And I'm like, whoa. And, you know, we start talking and he gave me his card and he wanted me to email him the pictures we took. And the media went crazy and took our photos and they're all over the internet, you know, the ones the media took. But, you know, it's like, it's, you know, there's Dennis Rodman and then there's, you know, the former president of Mexico. And of course, that's the one I get tied with because, like I told you, it's like and he's running around bad mouthing Trump about the wall, you know, that whole thing. So it's like the only scandal when there's Daniel, you know what I mean?
Yeah. But was he nice, though? Was he nice?
Very nice man.
Was he nice?
He was very nice. He and his wife were very nice. Seriously. I mean, I'm not kissing the ass, and I don't want to say that because everyone goes, oh, everyone says everybody's nice. No, no, no. You can tell when someone's a bitch or when they're not. You know what I mean? You can tell. You know, because I've had, you know, certain celebrities that aren't very nice. You know, you can tell in a minute. You know, they have an attitude or something. No attitude, very nice, gave me his card, and just really cool.
Well, anything else you'd like to tell our listeners?
No, I think it's cool. What do you think?
Very cool. So this is...
I think...
Let me just...
One thing I would say to your listeners is, first of all, Jerry is, like, the best. You're the best, okay?
What am I the best? What am I the best of?
You know, and number two... You know what? Don't let anyone stop you in your life. That's all I'll tell listeners. Do what the fuck you want to do and do it. You know what I mean? Don't think about it. Because there's some things I've thought about that I haven't done or I've been approached with, whether it's porno that I've told you about, you know. And I sometimes regret it that I didn't take it. Not that I wanted to do porno. It's just the thing of life because there's an expiration date with everybody, you know. And I sometimes wonder, God, I mean, back in certain days, it wasn't cool to do, but now no one gives a shit. Everybody's on the internet doing it, right? But it's something that's just natural to me, sex. I don't know why people make it a bad thing. some people, I don't understand that. It's just like eating to me. It's like you go eat food every day. So people have sex. It's a natural function. So
I know.
Why wouldn't you want to do something like
that? Makes sense. I mean, if Michael Lucas is listening, hire Daniel DeCrescio, okay?
Yeah, that's me.
You missed we had the New York City Porn Festival. That was so much fun. That's next year.
Oh, I know. I've been to Erotica before. There was that convention. I've been to that one.
Yeah.
And that's where I first met Ron years ago in LA at the Erotica convention. And then, I started running into a lot. And then we know a lot of the same people, then events. And so, yeah, but, then Jenna Jameson, I met her. I love the porno world. I think it's cool. And I like the people. And kind of like a reality world, like reality stars. Kind of like the same kind of thing. You know, even in Berlin, I've been on her show a lot. She's a legendary porno actress. And I seem to get along well with them, But I'm diverse. I get along with anybody. A smart person can get along with anybody. Remember that.
Yeah.
So, and I'm not saying that I'm smart. I'm not doing it like that. It's just a smart person can get along with anyone. And you don't ever put anyone down for anything that anyone's doing. And you don't even point fingers at people because it's ridiculous because everybody does everything. ridiculous. I mean, if you're a point fingers at the porno industry, that's the biggest money-making industry, right?
Yes, but Daniel...
That means everybody's watching it and everyone's doing it. So then why would there be people who think it's bad? You know what I'm trying to say?
But Daniel, even as a child, were you always confident and gorgeous like you are now, or did you change?
I've always been confident. I always liked myself, per se. I didn't know that's what it was called, but I'm fine being alone by myself. I can be my own friend and whatever you want to call it, and I enjoy my time alone. So, and then around people, I know who I am, so I don't care who is around me. Like, I'm not intimidated by Cher, let's just use her. I'm not intimidated by a crowd of people because I'm just me and everybody else is themselves. Do you know what I mean? I'm not trying to copy somebody. I'm not unsure who I am. Because if that's what it is, then that's where you get lost. I'm not going to get lost because I know who I am. I know what I look like. I know everything who I am, So.
Yeah. And Daniel, we're going to be playing, some of your songs and stuff. So how long have you been playing music? And you write your own songs, right?
Yeah, I write my own music. I compose it all. And I've been doing that since I was 14 years old. I took classical piano, classical guitar, keyboards. I mean, I even played in school bands. We have clarinets, bass clarinets. I mean, I'm musically inclined. As my mother always told me, music and this beauty thing are my God-given gifts, being artistic, So, and it turned more into artistic being, acting and everything else. But, so it's a natural gift. And like my mother always told me, if it's easy, it's meant to be, and that's what you're supposed to do. If it's too hard, don't do it.
Do you play live gigs sometimes? Do you play live gigs sometimes?
Oh, live gigs, yeah. I played around the world. I've actually done a concert in Anaheim with the Real Housewives of Orange County as my backup dancers a couple of years ago. I did one for my birthday in West Hollywood. I performed at a birthday event, with a live and concert birthday event, and did two of my songs, and it was a big hit. I'm going to be going back now at the end of the month. I'll be redoing the music again. I have a new single coming out, XX, the remix, Triple X remix.
Wait, what's it? It's called XX? Say it again, XX?
XX, Triple X Remix. And that's going to be the video that I'll be shooting at the end of the month. And rumor has it that we're going to probably be using the Andrew Christian models, the gay underwear models, who will be my boy toys kind of thing, and some other kind of sexy surprises. So it's going to be full out.
Well, I can't wait. Anyway, Daniel, thank you so much. We love you. You are fabulous. And anytime you're back in New York, but also if anybody's in LA, you should wait. He should make you over because everybody, look in the mirror tonight. Do you need a makeover? You probably do, right?
Yes. Everybody needs a little help once in a while. That's just, it's cool. It's a cool thing. It's not an insult. It's cool. Don't be insecure about it.
It's fun. You have fun by making yourself up,
Yeah, it's fun. I mean, sometimes you'll find out that something, that you get done is something that'll make you feel even more over the top or more confident than you wouldn't even have realized. Because you can't see yourself sometimes all the way, you know? So you need that objective point of view once in a while.
Well, Daniel, remember yesterday we were having lunch at Eataly, and the guy, the waiter came over and said, "Hi, ladies." He thought you were a lady because you have long blonde hair.
Oh, my God, I hear that a lot. I hear it when I'm driving on the freeway in Hollywood, anywhere I am. It's like guys drive up and beep or whatever, and they go, "Hey, baby." And then I go, "Hey, what do you want?" You know? But I've been mistaken for one of the Barbie twins. I mean, it's always somebody or some girl. So, hey, it's cool with me. You know, I don't care.
Yeah. But do you ever wear false eyelashes?
No, I haven't done that one. Maybe you can put them on me. How about that?
Yes, let's do it. But no, I can see where people would think you were a pretty girl too, but it doesn't even matter. It doesn't.
All right, I got to run.
Okay, thank you so much, Daniel. We love you, and this is Jerry Visco on Visco Disco, the stupid show, airing on Radio Free Brooklyn every Friday at midnight. Friday, TGIF. Thank Jerry, it's Friday. Goodbye, Daniel. We adore you. You're brilliant and fabulous. I wish
you later.
See you, bye. See you. Have fun this weekend. It's Friday. Ciao. Mwah, mwah. Good night. Private club. No one's allowed in without an invitation. So here is yours, it's all access. Don't fear the experience. My body, feeling my body, my body, feeling my body, my body, feeling my body, feeling my body.